In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
The Lord always goes first. Always. He never asks us to do what He is not willing to do, what He has not already done. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. The old Puritans used to say God is always previous. He's the divine initiator, and that's exactly right. So He invites us to Himself. He invites us to join Him in His work in this world. This is one of the great truths, spiritual nuggets, if I may, in Matthew 26 that I had missed for so long. We're looking at this passage, this initial passage in Matthew on watching and praying. And we learned what we watch for. We watch for the enemy. And why we watch? We watch so we can pray. These two things are inseparably linked in Scripture. So we watch and pray. But did you ever notice this little phrase in verse number 38, when Jesus first said to His disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now, don't miss those two words, "with me," because here in these two words is not just what we watch for and why we watch, but who we watch with. Did it ever dawn on you that in prayer you are partnering with the Lord Jesus Christ? You're joining Him in His work? The Bible says we're to be laborers together with God, and the Lord works with us. That certainly happens as we witness and get the gospel out. It also happens in the place of prayer because Jesus is the great prayer. He's the first and the perfect prayer. He is our great prayer partner. Let me point out a couple things to you in this passage. The first is that Jesus is praying continually. And I think this is very important, because the Bible says He prayed this same prayer three times. In verse 39, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Verse 42, "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, Thy will be done." Verse number 44, "And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Here is the beautiful illustration of what it means to pray without ceasing, to just keep on praying. This is not the time to let up your prayers. This is the time to continue your prayers. Don't let others discourage you. Don't let circumstances so disillusion you. Don't let emotions so overcome you that you do not pray. When you least feel like praying, you most need to do it. So discipline, flesh, watch, and pray. This is why in Scripture we're told to continue instant in prayer. Jesus had already said in His teaching that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let me tell you how not to faint in your garden, how not to faint in your grief. Keep praying. Pray your way through. Stay in the presence of Almighty God. I've often wondered if there's some significance here as well to the fact that He prayed the same thing three times. So often we pray something once, don't get the answer, give it up. No, press on in prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? How many times did he pray that the thorn in the flesh would be removed? Thrice, he said, three times. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." It is as we continue to pray that we find the Lord's grace. It is as we continue to pray and yield ourselves to the will of God and surrender to what He wants and seek the mind of God that the Lord gives insight into His perfect will and gives us the strength to do what we need to do. How did our Lord have the strength to stand there when Judas got in the garden and call Him friend? How did He have the strength to forgive and heal Malchus' servant's ear, put his ear back on his head? How? to restrain his own disciples. How? Because he was of one mind with the Heavenly Father. And that, friends, comes from being in the place of prayer. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what we must learn to do. Now, this is important because not only is it the repeated emphasis in Matthew 26, but I would remind you, this is also a picture of our Lord's continuing work at this moment. Do you know what Jesus is doing at this moment? He's watching for your souls. At this moment, Jesus Christ is in prayer. The high priest ever lives making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you. Think about the partnership of our Lord in prayer. You know, I think it's just a good practice to develop prayer partners, people with whom you can share the great burdens of life. I believe that's the Lord's way. We agree together in prayer. And there's accountability in that kind of prayer. And the words of wise old Solomon, two really are better than one. But even better than having a prayer partner here is the realization God has given us two prayer partners who are always available and always interceding. Who are they? Well, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 tells us the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is the prayer partner in our hearts. And then what about on the other end? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, I quoted to you a moment ago, the Lord Jesus is our prayer partner in heaven. So that's quite a prayer team. That's a prayer line, my friend. You got a prayer partner inside and a prayer partner above, and they're connected. Now, the Spirit of God and the Son of God are at this moment interceding, praying for you. Do you understand that when you come to prayer, when you say, Our Father, when you begin your prayer, at that moment, you are actually coming to a prayer meeting that is already in progress because the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit have already been making intercession for you before the Father. Praise God for this. I've been reading a little more about the life of Robert Murray McShane. He died at 29 years of age, but he was a man who knew the Word and understood prayer, and he realized the power of Christ's intercessory work. Andrew Bonar wrote a great deal about McShane's life, and in his biography about him, he recorded these words that McShane had penned. Robert Murray McShane said this, I ought to study Christ as a living Savior more, as a shepherd carrying the sheep he finds, as a king reigning in and over the souls he's redeemed, as a captain fighting with those who fight with me, as one who's engaged to bring me through all temptations and trials, however impossible to flesh and blood. I am often tempted to say, how can this man save us? How can Christ in heaven deliver me from lust which I feel raging in me and nets I feel enclosing me? This is the father of lies again. He is able to save unto the uttermost. I ought to study Christ as an intercessor. He prayed most for Peter, who was to be most tempted. I'm on his breastplate. And then McShane said this. It's one of my favorite quotes. I use it frequently for myself and others. He said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million of enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Look, friends, you may not be able to see him or hear him, but Jesus is praying for you today. My pastor would often say to me before I stood to speak as a young minister, he would say, Jesus is praying for you. Boy, that gave me fresh courage. Thank God Jesus is praying for you today. If no one else has called your name, Christ has, and he knows how to get his prayers answered. And that kind of awareness is going to give you fresh courage in challenging times. In the Garden of Gethsemane, facing Judas, you must recognize that you're with Christ and Christ is with you. How had his whole relationship with the disciples started? He called them to be with him. And at the end, he still wants them to be with him. As you go to the place of prayer today, realize you're not going there alone. You are going there with Jesus. Watch and pray.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. and may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.